Morning, guys. This is the Polka Dot Crockpot. You're listening to Jake Brett on Radio DePaul. With you for the next 2 hours. We're from 8 to 10. How's it going? It's a little dreary out there. A little rainy, gloomy. You know, some may not like this weather. It's a little cold, too. The chill never helps. You know, the worst part is the wind always. You know, you can take any kind of weather, but when that wind gets in there, and we all know in Chicago we have that here.
Something about a nickname. I don't know.
But it can't always be sunny in 75. You know, you gotta take the bad days. You gotta appreciate them. You know, it's like the sky's taking over. Huh? Guys, this one, you may want to stay inside today. We're just letting it go, letting it pour out. But despite all that, another banner weekend. It's just been an incredible streak, you know. The last team to win this many games in a row in Chicago was Michael Jordan's 96-97 Bulls. With Luke Longley, the big man in the middle from Australia. The land down under. I've just been full of it, you know, just full of it. No, not that. It's a French word I picked up the other day. Elan. E with the little accent mark on top of it. L-A-N. Elan. I guess that's the way they say it. And the meaning of this word is just an intense... hold on. Let me look it up. I can't even think. Where's my phone? Merriam-Webster's dictionary. That's the best app out there on the phone. You know, I use my dictionary, my calculator, the Harlem Globetrotters app game, all those trick shots. It's fun. I've been practicing my half-court hook lately. I hit about 30%. It's not an exact science. You know, you kind of just stand there at the half-court line and heave it over your head. You know, I try to get 30 in a session. You know, it's tough to find time though, because I kind of need an entire court. You know, anybody else tries to shoot around, they, you know, ducking up behind ball, you know, half court shots every 30 seconds. And you know, I like to shoot politely. And a lot of times, because of the errancy, I should say, of my shots, I need my own rim. Because the Globetrotters, they're next. I saw a flyer. They're having tryouts next month, June 13th, at the Allstate. I'd be mad. I'd be kicking myself if I didn't give myself a chance. You know, it's always been a dream of mine to be an honorary Harlem Globetrotter. There's only a handful of those. You know, they include Bill Cosby. John Paul II, you know, there's only a handful of honorary Globetrotters. Gilligan from Gilligan's Isle, you know, but to be an actual Globetrotter, because let's be honest, guys, they could use my help on defense. You know, that's been their weak point. That's why every single game the Generals find some way to climb right back in it, right before, you know, it seems like the Trotters are going to pull away. You know, they've put away the confetti. They've started playing a little, you know, serious basketball, you know, taking some good quality four-pointers. And then, you know, it seems like, you know, the Generals finally find their talent. You know, were they trying to hustle us all game or what? Or are they really this bad? Ever since Meadowlark Lemon's been gone, they've been needing a guy for the half-court hook. And if I can make that my shot, you know, they gotta take me. They gotta give me a serious look, you know? I feel like I deserve it. But anyways, yeah, this French word, élan, it means vigorous spirit or enthusiasm. You know, you're just full of it. Absolutely full of it. But yeah, it was an intrinsic joy. You know, it was just something that came from inside. And, you know, that's why they call it spirit. There's a record I picked up the other day. It's an Italian, I believe. It was all the greatest songs. What was it? San Remo Festival, the 12 Greatest Hits, 1962. the third song on the album, which is Gondoli, Gondola, which is the Italian version of Obladi, Oblada.
Un'inglesina sul canal grande guarda la luna, sospira e fa gondola, gondola, gondoli, gondola, gondola. Un fornaretto sentimentale s'affaccia al ponte e canta così gondola, gondola, gondoli, gondola, gondola. Lei gli sorride, lui fa l'occhietto e tutt'a un tratto nasce l'amor. Ogni notte a Venezia con un quarto di luna scivola sulla laguna il più bel sogno d'amore. Gondola, gondola, gondoli, gondola, gondola. Gondola, gondola, gondoli, gondola, gondola. Vola colomba, il sole indora, il vaporetto che se ne va. Gondola, gondola, gondoli, gondola, gondola. Sul canal grande resta una scia, anima mia, non mi lasciar. Gondola, gondola, gondoli, gondola, gondola. Se mi vuoi bene, pensami un poco, scrivimi tanto, non mi scordar. Ogni notte a Venezia con un quarto di luna scivola sulla laguna il più bel sogno d'amore. Gondola, gondola, gondoli, gondola, gondola. Laguna, il più bel sogno d'amore. Gondola, gondola, gondoli, gondola, gondola. Gondola, gondola, gondoli, gondola, gondoli.
Sing, oh, blah-dee-blah-da. Oh, that was a pretty little tune. You know, you may not understand the words, but you get them. You understand them. You kind of figure out what the lady's talking about. So, sing. Have you ever led an all-kazoo band? What a feeling. You know, it's one of the most universal instruments out there. Anybody can play a kazoo. You know, sometimes it takes, you know, put it in, you know, takes a little, you know, it never takes really more than 30 seconds for somebody to pick it up, at least in the experiences with kazoos that I've observed. Everybody seems to be able to do it. You know, sometimes you have to say, hey, put it, you got the wrong end in your mouth at Applehead. You know, it's, oh, okay, it goes this way. They just, you know, start blowing it. No, it's not how you do. You have to do it.
What?
Do it. What? There you go, Conroy. You got it now. I pulled off a sterling rendition of the Star Spangled Banner through Kazoo is over the weekend. Let me back up and tell you that story for a second. But this rendition of the Star Spangled Banner went something like this. You know, and we belted it out. I think we added an extra verse in there somewhere. Maybe there were some more rockets flying off in what was that, Baltimore Harbor? Francis Scott Key, who wrote that. Those red rockets, they were glaring. So it was part of a parade. I told you guys about parades last week, and my fella Gene Shepherd, who was in, the best parade he ever saw, Ma. Oh, man. It's something special when you can get, 50 people on Kazoo, like I said, all together, all playing on the same sheet of music, pulling on the same rope. And those are great times. It started a while back, this annual parade. This is an event I myself have taken the burden of putting on. It's not a burden, it's a blessing, really, when I think about it. Putting on for community of close friends for the past, I'd say, 2 years. It's a parade. We have five destinations on the parade route. People are nice enough to open up their homes, and it's a nice procession. It's got a pace. It's got a rhythm. After every hour, we switch location. There's no rhyme or reason we're on the run in particular. It's nice to change up the scenery every hour. It gives a nice pace, a nice feeling, like you're moving, like you're doing something. You're popping and jiving. It's tough to, keep, sometimes we have 30, sometimes we have, we've ballooned to as large as 70 in this parade. The numbers can get up there when attendance spikes and buzzes big. How do you, gather that many people? Well, there's a few ways. There's a few tactics I've learned. Number one, carry an air horn. That's day one stuff. There's not many people that don't understand the universal meaning of an air horn. Hey! Listen up! Okay. That's rule number one. Like I said, day one stuff, guys. That's on the first page of your program. It's in the preface. Preface. Step number two. You gotta use teamwork. Develop a squad. Guys can help you out. I need this, and this. Where is everybody? You gotta charge somebody with the caboose too. The rear admiral. Have him in back, making sure everybody's clear from one place, and we're all together on the parade route. Crossing guard, he'll act as sometimes too. Safety first. No, well, not safety first, guys. Safety always. Remember that. Somebody at the door, and that's this is the technical side of it. This is the logistics and all that stuff. I don't know if you are taking notes, but it might not be a bad idea. Then you need the gracious help of the five people who are shuffling you in and out. We had the benefit this one time of let me tell you, we. So my Saturday morning getting ready for this event. This is a catered event, mind you. It's we get after our after marching to four houses, we got to take a load off and eat. It's necessary. You got to feed all these people. They're not going to make it through to the end, to the Fremont Jungle, which has historically been the final stop on the parade route. You're not going to make it to the Fremont Jungle unless. You eat up. You get your fuel. So in the past we've had Portillo's Italian beef. Oh, that was good. A couple jars of peppers, some potato salad, masacholi, everything. Brown's chicken. Pot Bellies, you know, all the good ones, all the good, you know, good party foods. They all were. So this time I decided this is my last time leading this event. This is my last hoorah as the band leader. You know, the guy with the kazoo with the speaker on it with the amp attached to his pocket. You know. Amplified kazoos. They make electric kazoos. Did you know that? I wasn't that big of a sucker to buy one, but to think that, wow, technology, we're that far. Exciting stuff, guys. Really is. So yeah, this would be my swan song. So I decided for the last time around, we'll get pizza. You know, not just pizza though, deep dish pizza. So. That Saturday morning, I gave three of my friends a call. I gave Gino, I gave Lou, and I gave Giordano a call. Said, I need three deep dish pizzas, large, various kinds of varieties delivered to this address at this time. And they happily obliged. I'd like to thank those pizza men for their help over the weekend. It wouldn't have been a success without them, but... yeah, that was the big errand of the morning. And then you know, the parade starts and everybody gets there. The buzz starts building, you know. Everybody grabs a kazoo, they're first learning how to play. And, you know, they start digging into the... before I got there, let me tell you. I was walking, you know, down the street, and I wanted to get something to eat, something quick, you know, like a bag of chips or something, or, you know, something to hold off my stomach for a little while. And so I walk into Walgreens, check their section. I don't really have anything I like. And as I'm walking out, I see the toy aisle, and I have to walk through it. And I see bubbles. And you know, I think to myself, I'm leading a parade today. Got to have some bubbles. So I walked into Walgreens with the sole intention of, you know, getting something to eat. And I walk out of there with 8 bottles of bubbles. So that's kind of tells you how the day goes. You know, it's it's all about putting smiles on the faces. So then came the execution part. We had to march, and even one, like I said, the one from one house to another, we had a sterling rendition of our nation's anthem. We like I said, we drew it out there. Were more rockets in the air that should have been, but we were celebrating. You know, the crossing guards were doing their jobs. We had no issues with that. Everything was terrific. And then we get to this fourth house, I'd like to thank again the people who helped me put this on by offering up their humble abodes. So we get to this fourth house, and it was a friend of mine. She said, we'd be on the roof. And I'm like, oh, great. You know, this is Lincoln Park. This is, you know, thousands of three flats around here. I thought, oh, okay, cool. You know, we'd be on a roof, you know. Get a nice view of the city. But little did I know that we would be 40 stories up on top of the lake. Right off the lake, looking straight down at the Hancock Building, straight east to the lake, west to Chicago, north to Evanston. It was incredible, you know, because we were, you know, just marching around, you know, on the ground floor. Then this was the house with the pizza, too. This is where I told the pizza guys to deliver. And just to see people walk through the door. You know, I got there first. I had to arrive, make sure all the pizza was on time, and you know, take care of Lou, Gino, and Giordano, make sure their delivery was satisfactory. So I stood there and I watched everybody walk through the, you know, the, I don't know what it was, fire escape door or whatever, to the roof of this building. You know, this was completely safe. You know, she cleared it with the building. It was. All precautions are taken. You know, I don't take any unnecessary risks with this thing if I don't have to. You know, it's my baby. It's my baby. So just to see everybody's face as they walk, and, you know, the sun was setting just to the west. It was a nice, you know, purple Auburn line to the west, you know, as the sun was setting over all those lovely western suburbs. You know, you could see the grid pattern, the light, the street lights coming on, lighting up all the way west, you know, just illuminating, you know, from the ground, you know, as the sun was dying. Then looking over the lake, there was a few boaters out there, and it must have been fishermen, or I don't know, but sea was pretty calm. It was a little windy, but nobody minded too much. You know, can you complain with a view like that? You know, it reminded me of a song by a friend of mine named Joe Walsh. Yeah, we were on top of it, you know. Sun went down. I had a congratulatory speech to make. The house hop was, as I said, this was my last year. It's leaving my control, and I had to pass the torch to a worthy fella. Congratulations, Jason. To a worthy fella who's gonna strike up the band and take control. Well, yeah, I was glad I was wearing the right shoes. I had the ones I was telling you about last week, the cream colored, you know, the Gordon Lightfoots, you know, walking on the clouds. and it was awe-inspiring being 42. Stories on top of the city at 7 o'clock, and you know, seeing everything. It was dynamite. What JJ used to say, that JJ, no, not JJ Stokes, not the wide receiver for the San Francisco 49ers. So yeah, we went to the last house, which, as I mentioned, is the Fremont Jungle. It's well, there's a few reasons why they call it the Fremont Jungle. I'll let your imagination realize that it has more to do with the lawlessness, the anything goes. You never know what to expect. There could be something leaping out at you. It's a friendly jungle, you know, not intimidating. It's just has that rustic feeling, I should say. Maybe jungle's not the best term for it. We'll think of something else. Could be a prairie. Nah, I wouldn't call it a prairie now. No, not a woodland either. Woodland, that would work. You know, something like Endor. Hope you guys celebrated yesterday. It was National Star Wars Day. I didn't get a chance to see any of the movies, but I'm excited for this new one. I shouldn't say excited, but want to see what this new one's like. George selling out to Disney, you know, just didn't want to do it anymore. But I heard he might move his museum to Chicago, though. They're going to have a museum with, you know, the Falcon and all the rest of those movie memorabilia, and, you know, taking a picture in the cockpit of, you know. Hey, how many, call in at 773-325-7341. How many wedding proposals you think in the first year of the Star Wars Museum being open, how many wedding proposals do you think will go on in or around the Millennium Falcon? You know, if I'm a gambling man, which I'm not, I gotta set the over under at least 150. I don't know. You know, one every other day is what I ballpark it at. You know, it's it was an interesting infographic I saw the other day about how expensive it is to propose at a Major League Baseball stadium. You know, it's nice to do, especially if you have a bond with the team. But you're just your average proposal. You know, for the guys like, you know what? I'll just do it at the ballpark. You know, that'll be cool. At least I'll have a beer with me. Yeah. All right. That's love, buddy. We know that. We wish you guys a happy marriage, which it probably will be. I don't know. Have you looked at the divorce rates lately in this country? I don't know. Anyways, where was I? Oh, 40 stories up, right. Then we all leave and head to the last house. And then things wind down. You know, and everybody starts to go home. They go their separate ways. What do they say at closing time? You don't have to go home, but you can't stay here. Do what you feel and keep both feet on the wheel. That's a Jake Blues line. So I ended up, I was hungry. I didn't get to eat any of the pizza. You know, as a host, I decided to eat last. And they scarfed down all that pizza. You know, I was happy to see it go. We had all kinds. We had the house special. We had the veggie delight. We had cheese and tomato, cheese, tomato, and parm. Parm. Double parm. every kind of pizza. I was craving a gyro. Oddly enough, my second gyro of the day. You know, I had 9 pizzas in front of me. Go figure. And I didn't even touch one of them. And I ended up eating 2 gyros on the day. What do you call it? Do you call it a gyro or do you call it a euro? Yeah, I know. I know it's euro. Okay? I'm not that uncultured. But it's gyro. It takes on a new meaning almost when you say gyro. Because, you know, only in some of the most, you know, broadest of, I don't know, I'd say urban cultures, you know, still call it a gyro. You know, it's started a while back, and you know, it just rolls off the tongue. If you ask me, you know, give me two gyros, more tiki sauce. Watching somebody at a gyro stand trying to order the tiki sauce. It's tiki sauce. It's not a gyro without that stuff, though, let me tell you. Well, I hope the Monday morning for you guys is as good as it is for me. I've been going. I've been, you know, perpetuating the hot streak. And as you may have heard, there's not too many credos or philosophies I live by, but there are some basic facts of life. You know, we're all born, we're all gonna die, we're you know, all gonna end up watching a few episodes of Friends, whether we want to or not. You're probably gonna try salmon sometime point in your life, you know. You'll try and grow a beard. You know, those are some common facts. You know, it's almost universal to everybody, I'd like to say. But here's a song I heard on the parade route that we didn't get to play on kazoo. It's a little tough to play on kazoo. You know, not everything's translatable to all instruments. You know, you try playing a trombone song on the drums, it just doesn't work. You know, the amount of fine violin pieces I've tried to play on the washboard. You know, I think it'd sound really cool. It'd be revolutionary. It might land me a record gig, but you know, it's hard to master. You know, the archaic folk instruments like that. But I routinely say that. Hold on 1 second, guys. Ooh, sorry, had to blow my nose. I was polite. I turned down the mic. I didn't want you guys to hear my sneezing. Ugh, excuse me. Routinely, I would say that there's really only one sure way to get me to go, and that's by playing old time rock and roll.
Something late.
I'm up now. There's, like I said, no sure way to get me to go. Quite like playing old time rock and roll. It's like reciting verse. It's wisdom. I take it as, you know. He didn't grab it from the Book of Psalms, but it's a little bit of wisdom, and I was imparted with some wisdom recently. It's a moment like that when you can realize that you may have been wrong about something. You may have judged too early or judged for a different reason. And in my particular case, I didn't go to. Well, it's not like I didn't go. It's you see, there's this restaurant on the street called the Arrogant Frog. It's a bar restaurant, and I'd never think of going in there just because of their name, the Arrogant Frog. Who would want to go into an establishment like that? As I discussed with a friend of mine, Neil, Neil says, you know, nobody wants to be arrogant, you know. Excuse me, I don't mean to be arrogant. That's how you say it. It's, you know, it's not. Guys, if you'd allow me to be arrogant for a second. No. That's not allowed. Why arrogant? Why not, the excitable frog, the energetic frog, the enthusiastic frog, the earth-conscious frog? I don't know. There's any other number of names that start with E-R-A-R that you could pick for the bar, but why the arrogant frog? So I was talked into going there one night. And, interesting establishment. They had some interesting bar stools. They swiveled out of off of the bar, you know, like about 2 feet up. They were attached by a few metal posts, and they swiveled out. Pretty neat, but there's no place to rest your heels, you know. Your feet are dangling, or they're sitting on the bar ledge. It's, you know, about 8 inches high, and for guys under 6 feet, that I like to have my feet on the ground or on something at least. So I thought those were hazardous, but other than that, the bar looked nice. The restaurant part was too good. So I asked the barkeep about the name of the bar. You know, I said, why do they call it the Arrogant Frog? And she says, oh, you know what? The owner's actually at the end of the bar. I'll have him come over in a second. I'm like, oh, okay.